We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You may stop the run. You may stop the pass, but you can't stop the major. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you college and WVU Hall of Famer and great one, Major Harris. Mage, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right.
You doing good?
Yeah.
Are you ready for this weekend of retiring? You're number 9 right here at WVU.
No, I ain't really ready. You know, it's funny, a situation like this, you always kind of like the lead up to it. You know what I mean? You hope that never ends because, you know, then it's on the other side. So I like the lead up always.
So you're enjoying the lead up, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So when Shane Lyons, director of athletics, called you, what were your initial thoughts that they were going to retire your number forever?
You know, when he first told me, he said something was brewing, I didn't know, you know, what he meant. And then he called me and told me, you know, as far as it was, you know, probably going to retire my number.
Right.
It took me by surprise. I was shocked.
Were you shocked?
Yeah.
Okay, so now that you're being here, you're seeing some former teammates rolling in. You know, a lot more are coming. Your friends are rolling in. Just a lot of acquaintances here. Have your thoughts changed at all leading up to this, as you said, the lead up?
I mean, it's really, you know, it's no instruction book on how to take it. It's just, you know, it's the lead up. And I'm like, you know, Kelvin Phillips just called me earlier, said he's in town. And, you know, really don't know what to expect. And basically just, I guess, playing everything by ear, taking small steps and just trying to enjoy the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Kelvin couldn't wait, man. He called me today and he said, I'm in town a day earlier. And he's over there getting tours of the football stadium at practice. So he's all fired up, him and Doc, man, Doc Basil. So let's go back to your early days. And I know that you were recruited by some schools as a defensive player. They wanted you to play defense. And WVU wanted you to play quarterback, and that's what you wanted. How did you get here to WVU from up there in Pittsburgh?
Well, you know, going back, I don't know what schools really wanted to do with me. You know, take Pitt, for instance. Pitt was recruiting me, but then Foles Faso got fired. A lot of people say, well, they wanted him as a D-back. I don't know that. I didn't know who the new coach was going to be. Foles basically was saying, you know, they're going to give me an opportunity to play quarterback. So I really don't know what schools was going, you know, try to recruit me as a D-back. You know, you never know until you get there. The thing I knew about, you know, here was, and it's funny, you know, Daryl Daryl Talley got his number retired at the time. John Talley was a quarterback here.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, they were saying, you know, well, John here, and probably once he graduate, you know what I mean, you can step in after that. So, from that standpoint, you really don't know who's really recruiting you as a quarterback. And who knows, you might get there and not play well, and then you might got to move to another position.
So, WVU, as what I'm hearing from you, got one of the best players of all time because a Pitt coach in Foge Fazio got canned.
No. You know, I wasn't going to base my decision on Foge Fazio. I was just using that as an example of sometimes, well, a lot of times when you get recruited and a coach get canned at a school, then basically, you know, I guess you're probably not looking at going to that school now because you don't know who the new coach is going to be. I always liked the West Virginia. I came down to the football camp down here. A fellow high school player, Milton Redwine, was here. Played on, played a lot of national televised games, you know, the year before I got here. So it was really like a no-brainer. It's away from home, but it's, you know, it's close enough where you can, you know, drive, you know, hour and a half to get home and you know, and stuff like that. So it was really a no-brainer to come here.
Okay, so no interview would be complete if I didn't ask you about your relationship with head coach Don Nealon.
You know, it was almost more of a father-like figure towards me, you know, when I look back on it. You know, nowadays you see coaches, they just as young as the players. But back when I played, a lot of the coaches was older, so it was more like a father figure type thing. And, coach, he had the confidence in me, you know what I mean, gave me an opportunity to play quarterback, and here I am.
Yeah, so many called him Daddy Don instead of Danny Don. That's awesome. So, okay, let's go here and talk about that. Many have stated this, and I don't know if this to be true or not, but I do know that you were a dual-threat quarterback, and some say that you were ahead of your time. Not so sure about that, but I do know that you could throw the ball, you could run the ball. And when you look at the quarterbacks nowadays, the majority are dual-threat quarterbacks. Do you feel that you were ahead of your time as a dual-threat quarterback?
No, not really. I think what it was, I think some of the coaches that came on after, you know, the time that we came out, I think they was more open to be more wide open offenses. And what I mean by that, you get more coaches that would throw the ball 40 times a game. And I think a lot of times, as far as now, more offensive coordinators, they're playing for a head coaching job. So now they're going to be a little bit more open and throw more because, in a sense, they're trying to build their resume up. Whereas back when I played, I don't think many offensive coordinators was thinking ahead of the game the way they're thinking now.
Okay, very good. So let's go ahead and talk about some of your favorite memories on the football field, games. What were they? Was it the Penn State run? We all know about Penn State run. Was it the Fiesta Bowl? Was it Syracuse doing the lap? Go ahead.
It was just everything. You know what I mean? Being in the locker room, hanging out. Basically, definitely, you know, to win the game. You know what I mean? But it was just everything, just hanging out with the guys. Just like now, I'm kind of excited to see guys I ain't seen in 20 years. So it was just everything on and off the field.
Okay, man. Well, how about your teammates? You just said you're excited to see guys you haven't seen in 20 years. I know there's some funny ones there. I remember the locker room, the banter in the locker room, the ripping on each other. You know, what? You got any favorite memories you can think of?
You know what? Everything. You know what I mean? You know, when I look at the whole story, the only thing I would change is probably the Fiesta Bowl game. Other than that, the story that, you know, happy moments, you know, sad moments, but, you know, I think it was a wonderful story other than, you know, the getting beat in the Fiesta Bowl game.
Yeah, I hear you there, man. I lived that with you, but I certainly didn't get injured like you did. But, you know, some of my favorite memories of you that, of course, not on the field, but were off the field was when we won, and whether it was on the bus ride home, the plane ride home, and then getting off and coming back for the bus again, is you would go and start ripping on everybody in a fun way. You would freestyle rap. You would be the entertainment, and everybody on the bus was going nuts. And you had some that would try to compete with you, but they just couldn't hang with the maids.
You know, it was, you know, like I said, it was just a time that we was just all having a good time.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I'll tell you what, there's some stories. But, okay, so let's go to a story. 1989 Maryland. Jeff Price, Pricey the center. He was in his football stance. It was so humid, Mage. If you remember, it was disgustingly hot, humid. People were getting sick all over. So Pricey goes up, gets the ball. He's in a three-point stance. Can't get up again because now he'll get penalized. And he starts puking. And then you have the Maryland nose guard, and he starts puking. And it was all this water just coming back and forth in football. And then, of course, I'm at the right guard. I start puking. And you're like, oh, no, no, no. I don't want to snap this. What's the story with that?
You know, the thing I remember the most about that, I just didn't want to grab the ball. You know what I mean? I was just, you know, it was more of that. I wasn't really, you know, because I'm thinking more of turning the whole offense. But then, you know, you look down and like, oh, man, I like, man, don't snap me that. You know what I mean? It was more of that type of thing.
Okay, well, I'm going to say this. Our cadence, if you remember, was hit, go for when it was on one. Mm-hmm. And you were like, usually you'd be like, hit, go, right? That was mm-hmm. you. And you're like, oh, no, you're like, hit, go. And he snapped the ball. And I think you handed it off to Garrett Ford Jr. I think he scored a touchdown. Am I right or am I wrong on that?
You know, I really don't know after that what basically happened. But I tell you, a play I remember really more than that was the play where I land up behind you. You know what I mean? And I remember that. I'm looking over the, you know, looking at, you know, seeing what's going on, and I get up under you, said, Mage, wrong person.
And you know what you said? You remember what you said? Oh, my goodness. You said, oh, my bad. My bad. And you casually go for the right guard when your hands are under, and you move over to Pricey, the center, and I believe it was Rutgers. And they were laughing so hard that you lined up over the right guard. I think you took it around for like 20, 25 yards because they were laughing, man. It was the greatest thing. I remember that absolutely. So, you know, I'm going to make this short. I don't want to bother because you have so much going on this weekend. But last thing I want to say is when you're out on that field, when Mountaineer Nation is saying, Mage, Major, Major, whatever they're clapping and screaming, and they're about to reveal your number being retired and immortalized forever, what do you think you're going to be feeling?
Man, it's hard to say. You know what I mean? That's a moment where you don't expect, you don't know how to take it, and like, man, only thing I say, like, man, that's crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, listen, I want to say this to you. I want to thank you for Mountaineer Nation, for the memories, for the excitement, and for what you did for the program. I want to thank you for myself because blocking for you has given me lifelong memories and favorable memories of WVU. Mage, thank you, man. Enjoy your weekend. This is going to be special, special for you, I know. I love you, man.
I appreciate it. You know, I just want to say this. I really couldn't have did it without my teammates. You know, even though, you know, you know, people might say, man, thank you for what you did. Man, I couldn't have did it without you, Wolf. I couldn't have did it without, you know, everybody else. It took a team effort to get the job done.
Well, many of them are returning this weekend. So there you have it, Mountaineer Nation, in the words of the late, great Jack Fleming. Here comes the Mage. Boom!